You are tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Sponsored in part by IDE Computers. Now your hosts, Sam Dunham, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, and Josh Harrison.
Welcome to the Nerd Overload, the show that covers everything in pop and geek culture from chimpanzee A to chimpanzee Z. I'm Josh Harrison.
I'm Sam Dunham.
I'm Cody Pinnick.
And I'm Samantha Cross.
We have a great show for you guys. Thanks for tuning in. As always, before we get into the news, I think we're going to jump into some of the things we've been checking out this week.
I've got a good one. I've been playing the mobile phone game King of Thieves.
Oh, okay.
And it's kind of like an interesting, like, platformer-y, very Super Meat Boy, if you ever played that, where you're wall jumping off walls all the time. But it has an interesting mechanic where you make your own dungeon and other players try to challenge that dungeon and get to the goal.
Oh, interesting.
And so the whole time you can play the single player levels or you can challenge things other people have made. And it keeps it from being impossible by whenever you make something, it makes you complete it yourself twice in a row.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good yeah. Like, backup.
But it's super addictive for some reason.
Well, just, you know, it's a mobile game, so,
yeah.
You know.
And you can, like, you steal things from other players so you can upgrade your stuff, and you have these gems that you're constantly trying to improve through a totem in your dungeon, and those gems, while they're being improved, can be snatched by other players. You can snatch other people's gems, and these add up to a score that puts you on a leaderboard.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, very cool.
In different leagues. So it's pretty interesting, and I would highly recommend it. You play it just by tapping the screen, too, is the only control there is.
Oh, right on.
The guy's
right on.
Constantly running, and you just tap to jump. So it's simple. It's fun. You know, go download it.
Oh, very cool. And it's you said it's free, or is it a
Yeah, it's free.
Yeah.
It has in-app purchases.
Well, sure. Of course it does.
It's by the people who made Cut the Rope, too, at Zepto Lab, I think.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's cool.
Well, I haven't really done a whole lot. A lot of TV shows I watch are on either on temporary hiatus or hit their season finales.
Yeah, we're kind of running into that, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've been still trying to play Heroes and Generals, but they dropped a big update this week and added the Soviet Union as a faction to play, but it pretty much broke the game. It was down for almost 2 days, them trying to work the bugs out after they dropped it.
Wow.
That's what early access is all about.
Yeah. I mean, it's still fun, but it's kind of hard because now I'm playing the Soviet Union and nobody's really progressed far enough to really unlock tanks. So we're getting steamrolled like crazy by people who have tanks. It's terrible. And frustrating.
I'm going to take a break from the games, and I actually read a comic this week. Yeah.
Really? You read a comic?
I know, right?
It's mind-blowing.
Very surprising. I picked up the first issue of the new ongoing Star Wars Darth Vader comic from Marvel Comics. And you guys, it's pretty great. The book actually runs concurrently with their main Star Wars book. And so it takes place practically about a week after the events of New Hope. Like, the Death Star just blew up. And it kind of starts answering some of the questions like that weren't explained too well in Empire. Like, it took me reading these two comics, to realize that Darth Vader knew exactly who Luke Skywalker was in Empire, despite never meeting him in New Hope. They never met face-to-face.
That's true.
As far as in New Hope, as far as Darth Vader was concerned, it was just some kid that knew Obi-Wan Kenobi. That's it. So how did they get from there to Luke, I am your father? Spoilers, you know, sorry. Yeah. Sorry, you guys. But no, the comic is really good, and it's written by a guy named Kieran Gillen, not the actress.
Not Karen Gillan.
No, not the actress, but close. But it's done really well, and it's really interesting. I don't know if this is me bringing this to the book myself or if it was actually written this way, but, like, it's an oversized. It's, like, double the pages, like 40 pages
okay,
long.
Okay, I was wondering, because you were talking about, like, the first third and the last third.
Yeah,
like, I'm like, how thick is this comic?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was $5.
Okay.
But I think it's going to drop down for the second, you know, I think it's going to drop down to $3.99
okay.
After that. They wanted a big first issue. Anyway, the first third in the third third, I guess, Darth Vader reads like he did in the original trilogy, like the, you know, foreboding, you know, dude in charge, you know.
I am the bad guy.
Choking out dudes. There's a scene where he goes to Jabba's palace. Basically, he's sent by the Emperor to go to Jabba to do a treaty. So Vader gets there a day early, tells Jabba, this is going to go well. I'm in the doghouse because of this whole Death Star thing. This is going to go well. And then wrecks like half of Jabba's guard. Just totally wrecks him.
All those Gamorrean guards, no.
Yeah, but but he reads just like, you know, the Darth Vader that everyone knows. But there's about six pages in the middle that is Vader on Coruscant talking to the Emperor, and he's just getting berated by the Emperor left and right. He's like, "Man, come on. We spent 20 years on this Death Star thing. I mean, we have this backup we've been working on, but in one night you couldn't even defend a small exhaust port. Are you kidding me?" And Vader reads like the whiny Hayden Christensen from the prequels. Like, it was astounding. It was amazing.
He's
like
still in there somewhere.
Yeah, that whiny little brat is still in there somewhere.
Oh, so like almost like he's getting yelled at by his dad.
Yeah, pretty much. And the Emperor actually makes one really good point. I wish I could remember the quote right off the, you know, exactly. But it basically said, Vader, you think you're all high and mighty, like you're giving, you know, orders and, you know, you're in charge. This debacle proves that you are nothing more than a blunt weapon. Better to be welded than to wield yourself or something like that. In other words, you're not bad. You're not the dude. You're a baseball bat that I'm swinging around. So just step back, you know. It's a really good comic. I would suggest everyone go out and pick it up.
Those new Star Wars comics are good.
But say, I really liked the first one. Mm-hmm. And I really want, with that and the first one, how good the first one was, I really want to pick up Leia, too.
Yeah, that's going to be really good. One more thing I want to add with this. The story ends with him on Tatooine. And he's talking to Boba Fett. And Boba Fett, I didn't know Boba Fett had a Wookiee sidekick.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he has a black-furred, scarred-up Wookiee sidekick.
Wow, that's kind of weird because he has Wookiee like scalp braids on his freaking armor.
Yeah, yeah. But anyways, he's talking to him saying, "Okay, I need you to find more information about this kid that was with Obi-Wan. You're gonna get the information. Don't kill him because he has the Force. I want him. Just don't kill him." Anyways, and it cuts to the other side. He goes, "And I think my business here is concluded." And there's a whole bunch of Tusken Raiders like strewn out. Sliced up because, you know, they killed his mom way back when.
Oh, so that's like his stress relief?
That's like his stress relief. But I saw someone online take that last panel, color out the speech balloon, and put, "Wahoo, this is pod. Now this is pod racing," which was from The Phantom Menace. Like Darth Vader standing over the Tusken Raiders. "Now this is pod racing.
That's a wizard."
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That moment in the first Star Wars comic when he meets Luke for presumably the first time was so good because he's just like, "Wait a minute, who is this kid?"
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of familiar.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't been doing much, but I have a doozy for you.
Okay, let's hear it. I'm ready.
I'm doozied.
One thing that I've been seeing constantly is a trailer for a movie at work that plays on the TVs.
Okay.
It is called Russell Madness. Have you heard of it?
Russell Madness?
Russell, as in Jack Russell, the dog.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It is about a Jack Russell that apparently accidentally becomes a wrestling star.
I'm in. That's what I
thought. And he talks.
Okay. Who is the voice?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. It's no one.
Yeah,
no,
it's not anybody good.
I was hoping you'd say like David Hyde Pierce is the wrestling Jack Russell Terrier.
But it's apparently like another, you know, Air Bud movie. Okay. Still.
Oh, man.
Russell Madness.
Russell Madness.
You forgot about the biggest part. He's taught how to wrestle by a monkey.
Oh, my God. That's true.
Oh, you guys have sold me. Yeah. I'm in. This is perfect. This is... Give it all the Oscars.
You have to watch the trailer, though.
Okay, I'll have to pull that up, because that's...
Oh, my God. What the...
It sounds ridiculous.
And one part of the trailer that plays at work, like, the one wrestler is, like, talking smack to him like they do.
Oh, sure.
And, like, I just see the Jack Russell, like, squint his eyes, like...
narrow his eyes.
Like, mean mugging?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Welcome to the doghouse. Woof.
They never show the dog wrestling in the trailer either.
All he sees is a kid kick a guy in a sensitive area.
Oh, jeez. Like you do.
Yeah, that's the kind of comedy they weren't dealing in.
Oh, man.
When I step inside the square dog bowl, I'm going to bring down a world of hurt.
Yeah, snap into brother.
A tree.
Snap into a milkbone. Like, I almost want to see it in theaters.
I know. Like, the more terrible. I see the trailer, the kind of actually want to see it.
Now, this has to be, like, direct-to-video, right? It's not like
I think it actually was
a movie, right?
It's going to be in theaters at least for a short time. Then it's going to be, I think I saw, it's going to be released pretty soon.
Really? Like, well, you know, WrestleMania comes out at the end of the month, so...
I'll bet they wanted to call it WrestleMania.
I bet that's,
Their lawyers were like, yeah.
Oh, man.
Russell Madness.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I really hated those buddy movies.
Spooky buddies.
Russell's tiny.
Yeah. How did we get from the original Air Bud to where we are now with the Air Buddy movies? Have you seen some of those Air Buddy movies? Because I've had to watch some of them at work. And I tell you.
Super buddies. Space buddies.
Spooky buddies.
Spooky buddies. Yes.
Spooky buddies.
With the ghost dog. There's an actual ghost dog in that movie.
Yeah, that's sad.
But that's okay. He seems pretty happy about it.
I mean, I blame the fact that that is why we had like 13 Land Before Times when the only good one was like the first one.
Yeah, yeah. Think about the Beethoven movies.
Oh, yeah.
We eventually had just the St. Bernard puppy movies.
People love animals.
Yes.
I think it's time we actually start talking about some news here.
Sure, yeah. Let's get into it.
So let's talk about movies. And the biggest thorn in my side so far is they released image of the Aquaman from Dawn of Justice.
Superman, Batman v Superman, : Dawn of Justice, : the movie, : the game, : the movie.
: the quest for peace.
I wish. At this point, I wish it were the quest for peace.
I mean, we've got Jason Momoa, right?
Jason Momoa, yep. He's on...
Khal Drogo from Game of Thrones.
And also the Conan the Barbarian reboot that didn't do... Jack Squat.
You know, I still never saw that.
I never saw that either. Just
that's
no
why.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, I understand what they're going for, but he doesn't look like Aquaman.
Well, he looks like 90s Aquaman.
Kinda.
With the long hair and the beard and the... He's just missing a hook hand, and he'd be 90s.
He might have it. You can't see his hand.
That's true. Well,
hook hand.
Yeah. But no, I understand why they had to do it, because, you know, you have your super dark and broody... Superman, you have your super dark and broody Batman, you have your super dark and broody Wonder Woman. You couldn't come in with Aquaman in his orange shirt and green tights going, "Hey guys, me too." You couldn't have it. You had to go with the underwater sea barbarian version of it.
Someone threw a bunch of dirt on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rob Zombie with scales.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what he looks like.
See, that's one of the things I don't dig. I don't dig the scale tattoos on him. I don't know why. I don't know whether it's, you know, the logistics of him getting tattoos underwater.
Well, it might be squid ink.
It might be squid ink. Sure. But I don't know. I think it's screams that they were trying too hard. It's like, no, you guys, seriously, Aquaman's not a joke. Trust us. We're going to make him as extreme as we possibly can, you know?
I think his hair looks like garbage, too. Like,
well, it's not blonde.
It's like black with like white.
Yeah, he's not blonde.
Yeah.
Which I agree. I mean, I know Jason Momoa wouldn't look right
with blonde hair.
But you know what? It's why you cast an actor that looks like the character.
Yeah.
After looking at that picture, if I didn't know it was Aquaman, if they didn't say, hey, this is Aquaman.
Or you could see his A belt buckle.
Yeah, that too. It's unrecognizable.
Oh, yeah. I would have no idea who that was.
I'd be like, oh, so he's going to be in, Momoa's going to be in some period piece again. That's cool. Yeah. Kind of playing to his strengths, I guess.
Was that like Fish Lobo or like?
Yeah, right. He looks like Fish Lobo. Yeah, Lobo is another DC Comics character that looks just a biker. But it's.
Space biker,
yeah. But I understand why they had to do it. And I saw online someone had done what they did with the Wonder Woman picture when it came out. They went through and digitally recolored, like, the spots.
Yeah.
And they gave him the green pants, and they made the shoulder pad
orange.
Silver.
Oh, okay.
Like his 90s, and then he had the gold gauntlets. And that made it better. It's still not right.
Yeah, no.
It's not how it's going to look in the movie anyway.
No, it's all going to be brown and desaturated, because that's how they're making the movie, because comic book movies can't have bright colors or... anything fun or, you know, exciting or, you know, something that kids would be into.
Unless
you're Marvel. Right.
I hate it. I really. I mean, if you take the Aquaman aspect out of it, he looks cool. I mean, he looks like, you know, every other barbarian character he could ever play.
If this was Orm, Ocean Master, Aquaman's brother, that would be awesome.
Yeah,
that would fit because he looks like a villain.
Yeah,
he looks like a villain.
He does look like a bad guy. I mean, I just all I think they're doing is Game of Thrones is super popular and people love it, and I think they're just going with name power on this.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? This I just had this thought. If they're making all the DC characters super dark and gritty, what are they going to do to the Flash?
Oh,
because the Flash is going to be in this.
He's not a. Yeah, that's.
How are they going to gritty up the Flash?
Oh God, he's the Spider-Man of DC. No,
he wears the brightest color. He wears bright red and yellow.
No, they're going to give him a gray costume.
Yeah. No,
gray
no.
And his lightning bolts are also going to be gray. Everything must be gray. Gray and brown.
You're going to walk into this movie, and it's going to be 2 hours of dialogue over a screen that's solid middle gray.
Yeah. Flash is going to be so brown, they're going to change his name to The Streak.
Oh, man. I'm not happy with it. And, like, a lot of people I'm seeing like, oh, man, I love it. Oh, man, I love it. Aquaman's finally cool. Aquaman's been cool if you've been paying attention.
Yep.
Yeah.
You've just been hating.
Current Aquaman is at the power level of Golden Age Superman. Like, Aquaman right now can jump a building in a single bound. He is stronger than a locomotive. He is faster than a speeding bullet. Plus, he doesn't talk to fish. He commands fish.
Oh, yeah. He's always been, like, I've seen comic panels where he summons, like, you know, megalodon-sized sharks out of the freaking ocean to take down, like, planes and ships and stuff.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
The new 52 Aquaman has been fantastic.
He's been really good. And I think the best part about Aquaman for me is, dude doesn't have to be a superhero. In his off time, he is a king of an entire, like, ocean country.
Yeah.
Like, 90%, like 70% of the Earth, he is the king of. I mean, what's Superman? He writes or blogs, you know.
Yeah.
Or what's Batman do? He just kind of sits around and, you know,
broods.
Makes money.
Yeah. Aquaman,
Not
only is a superhero for a place that does not understand him and does not care about him, he is the king of his own country. So, dude deserves a little bit of respect.
I think that design is worse than the Wonder Woman one.
I agree. Oh, I totally agree.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't like that one.
No, I didn't like it either. I mean, I kind of understand. Like, it does have, like, very Greek elements to it, which is fine. But again, I hate the color saturation.
Yeah. At least if you told me that, if you said, who is this, I might be able to figure out that was Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she looks like...
She at least looks like Wonder Woman.
Kind of. Like Wonder Woman meets Xena the Warrior Princess.
Yeah.
And like I said, and that means this movie's going to have two barbarian characters.
Think about it.
Because that's how they're going to play Wonder Woman. You know, she's going to be this fresh off the boat from Themyscira.
Are any of them going to be not barbarian, though, really?
Flash
in the
barbarian.
End.
Can you picture it? Cyborg the Barbarian?
I mean, wasn't Man of Steel Superman basically some kind of flying around barbarian?
That kind of, you know. With his wanton destruction of property.
Yeah, yeah, of IHOPs.
Yeah. Yes, IHOPs and Sears.
Yeah.
Oh, it's okay, no one was there.
That's all right. Especially the Sears.
Yeah. Oh, all right. DC, once again, you have failed this city.
Yeah. Well, speaking of dark and brooding and stuff, you guys want to talk about this Power Rangers thing?
I haven't seen it.
I didn't watch it either.
Three times. I can talk about it all I want.
Yeah. Same here. Recently, and by recently I mean like yesterday, a viral video hit the web. It was about 14 minutes long, and it is a video that they made, a fan film of a super, super dark and gritty version of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, starring Katie Sackhoff from Battlestar Galactica and
James
Vanderbeek of Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 33 fame.
That's all he's ever done.
That's all he's ever done. That's all. Yes, that's it. That's all. But anyway, and it just blew up on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
People went nuts over it. I know I was linked to it about 30 times yesterday.
I'll bet you
people
were.
People sending me messages on Facebook.
Power Ranger guy.
Hey, man. Oh, man, Sam, you like Power Rangers? How's this? Check this out.
I'm sure you haven't seen this yet.
Yeah.
The same thing happened to me, too.
Yeah, yeah. And I watched it a couple times. And first off, I want to say it looks great. The effects are amazing for a short film.
Oh, yeah.
Effects are really awesome.
It's like right up. It's like right up there with like high-end television.
Yeah, yeah. Here's the thing. I didn't care for it much. I mean, it was interesting. It was really neat. Now, you know, I like the way they were going with it, and I think for a short film, it was fine. I wouldn't want to watch an entire movie of this, for sure. And I was talking to Josh before the show, and after watching it a couple times and watching the response from the producer, Adi Shankar, I think his name is, who did the movie The Grey, was producer on The Grey and the Dread remake.
Which is fantastic.
Which was great.
I love The Dread.
I love that
Dread.
Movie, yeah.
And he actually also did the short film Dirty Laundry, the Punisher one with Tom Jane from a couple years ago, which was great. You didn't know it was a Punisher thing until at the very end.
Yeah.
That was very
really
cool.
Good, too. I really did enjoy that.
Yeah, but I digress. After watching his like response thing, it made it pretty clear that it's parody. That they were making the joke that, you know, Hollywood takes everything that kids of the 90s loved and making it super dark and gritty, almost like a response to the Batman versus Superman.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Which is exactly why I didn't watch it. I said, dark, gritty reboot of Power Rangers. I'm like, that sounds awful.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I don't think they went far enough with it. Because if they wanted to make it an apparent parody, they should have made it all out just super... And I mean, don't get me wrong, this thing gets rough at points. Like blood and cursing and drug use and like a whole nine yards. The possible nudity. Yeah, there's two versions of it, one with nudity and one without. But I don't think they took it far enough because people aren't recognizing that it's a parody. You know what I mean?
People, just dumbos, they're going, oh man, it's so dark and awesome, and this is how I wish Power Rangers was.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly what people have been saying. I mean,
I think that's scary.
A little bit.
Yeah,
a little bit. I mean, it's interesting, to say the least. There's some decent cinematography in it, and the fact they actually got a couple of somewhat notable actors.
Sure, sure.
Who, and the fact that it's completely paid for by...
Shankar.
Yeah.
Shankar and Joseph Kahn was the director. The director was the guy who did the movie Torque.
Yeah.
And the movie Detention, which the tension is... Nutso. It's starts off as kind of a parody of like the teen high school comedy movies, and turns into a time travel like weirdness. Like, it just gets weird. There's a guy who a football player, a high school football player, spent his young years with a TV on his fist, and everyone called him TV Hand. And then eventually, because his hand was blown off by a meteor. And then they took the TV off, and because the TV had constantly played football for his entire childhood, he became the star quarterback because his hand knew how to throw footballs really well. That's the kind of movie that this guy directed. It's weird. And then he turns into a Brumblefly from, like, The Fly. He, like, turns into a fly man at points for whatever reason. Very weird. Very weird movie. But anyway.
We digress.
Yes. Anyway.
But
it's on Netflix. Check it out.
Yeah,
I kind of want to watch that.
Yeah, it's kind of rad. It stars the what's his name from Hunger Games, Peter Hungerman.
Peter
Hungerman. Peter. Peter. Yes. Peter. Josh Hutcherson.
Yeah.
I like Peter Hungerman. I'm so hungry in these games.
The even more weird thing is the fact that Saban is going after this guy.
Oh, sure. It makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. Yeah. It's bad for their brand. I mean,
they're dirtying up their child-safe cartoon. Or not cartoon, but live-action show.
Yeah,
live-action cartoon.
Because they have a brand new show that just started, and they have a movie that's in production from Lionsgate. They don't want to ruin that. It's interesting to see, because they're taking him to court.
Yeah.
They're trying to get it pulled down. It was pulled down from Vimeo. Yeah. And if the court case goes through, it's going to get pulled down everywhere. That's kind of why I saved it to my laptop, just to be safe, you know. If the courts decide to side with Saban, it's going to set a really interesting precedent for fan films in general.
Yeah.
Because it means that anytime anyone makes a fan film of, like, well, you know, there are videos of, like, Grayson. Remember from years and years ago?
Yeah,
Grayson,
yeah.
The Robin short film that they did. And, like, anything that would be parodic or homage to...
There's a ton of Star Trek fan films out there.
Star Trek, Star Wars. Yeah.
I mean, half of YouTube's just going to go dark.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it would be a suing field day.
That's the thing. There are some great fan films out there.
Well, sure.
That get the IPs better than the studios do.
Nowadays, it's so easy to get, you know, quality equipment.
Oh yeah, totally.
It's easy to do.
Totally. But yeah, I think this is, it's weird that it's taken Power Rangers to kind of get to like this whole other topic of fan films and, you know, what is fair use, what is, you know,
yeah,
that sort of thing.
I mean, because in the film, they don't use any, honestly, nothing really iconic from the show beyond names. I mean, right. The weapons look completely different. The costumes look, most part, completely different. The helmets do, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the uniforms still are colored with the big white diamonds on them.
Yeah.
I mean, if you didn't know you were watching Power Rangers, you wouldn't know, kind of.
No, you would kind of know.
Eh.
You would kind of know. I do think it's interesting. I think it's great. Back to the short itself. I think it's great that the writers and the directors, which Vanderbeek was actually credited as a writer.
Oh, okay.
They really knew the franchise. Like there are some deep cuts in there. Like,
oh yeah.
Vanderbeek's character is named Rocky, who was the replacement Red Ranger for Mighty Morphin. And they even make a joke that you were never really one of us.
Yeah.
Because Rocky was a cardboard cutout.
Yeah, he was a terrible
Ranger. He was not a very good one.
But he wasn't even supposed to be the leader back then.
No, well, at that point it was Jason David Frank.
Yeah.
JDF. But, no, I mean, they had some real deep cuts in there.
Oh, yeah, the Machine Empire from Zio.
Yeah, yeah.
They mentioned the Blade Blasters, which are, you know, the signature weapon, their little sidearms. I mean, it's not a bad fan film.
No, it's a really good fan film. I wouldn't want to watch 2 hours of it.
No. I like it how it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of interesting other people. Yeah, that's part of the thing with like fan fiction and fan films and stuff. Sometimes it's interesting to see someone else's take on something.
Right.
I mean, sometimes it may not be the take you want to see, but it's definitely artistic expression.
Oh, totally, totally. Yeah. I think anyone can be allowed to do whatever they want, you know.
Yeah. I think this is definitely fair use, too.
I think it is.
I mean, there's a part here and there that, I mean, they actually do say the phrase, it's morphing time, once in the film.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that might maybe one of the only legs that Saban, you know,
and they call out Tommy Oliver, which was like, which we were talking before. I think that's like the only like in canon last name on the show.
Maybe. I can't really remember. I could have sworn the principal said a last name or something somewhere.
Okay. Because I know Billy's last name was Extended Universe.
Okay.
Because he was named after Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, who voiced a snake villain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to come under fair use. But
they did, Saban did the same thing to the Chroma Squad guys.
They did.
That game, like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because I backed them years and years ago, and they the courts are still kind of out on that, which
they're trying to strike a deal with Saban, I guess, is the thing. I read about it earlier today.
Yeah,
it's Saban, like Sentai is a whole genre. Like this Power Rangers stuff is a whole genre. It's not just Power Rangers. It's a big thing,
right?
And they can't. They're trying to control the entire genre when they only own a small part of it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But,
I mean, come on. Most of Power Rangers is recycled from the original Japanese Sentai anyway.
Yeah.
It's not even, like, really his property.
Yeah.
It's like the Twilight people trying to sue the people who make Dracula Untold because vampires.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's actually a really good, really good analogy.
I mean, it's interesting. There were some good fight scenes. I mean, It's a decent fan film.
Oh yeah, everyone should go out and take a look at it. I mean, yeah, it's for sure. But you know,
if you don't mind, you know,
hyperviolence
and Warden swearing.
Yeah, a lot of swearing.
It's no different than if some kid animated a cartoon about Power Rangers on Newgrounds.
Yeah,
like they wouldn't sue that kid. Why? Just because James Vanderbeek did it doesn't make a difference.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I think we're gonna go ahead and take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll have some more news for you.
This show has been made possible by the support of businesses like IDE Computers, PC Sales, Service, and more. Delaware Avenue, Marion.
Welcome back, everybody. That was Harvey Danger with the song Flagpole Sitta, a real blast from like the past, you know?
A deep cut out of the 90s.
Oh, yeah, 97, I think it was. But it's interesting. We played that because I actually downloaded a new app today. It's called Discover, DISCOVR. It's one of those fancy web, you know.
Yeah, get rid of some vowels.
Web 2.0 stuff, you know. Yeah. But what it does is it actually tracks what you play on your phone or MP3 player, I guess. And you can actually also input band names and stuff. And it's a band discovery app. And it'll actually like spider web out. Like if you type in a band, it gives you like a spider web with like six other bands that are similar to it. And you can tap on that and it'll give you more and see where like connections are made here and there and stuff. I was playing around with it a little bit earlier today and it's a lot of fun. It's non-surprisingly, if you go down a rabbit hole of ska bands, a lot of them all kind of clump together because they all influence each other. Like I tried going from Real Big Fish to like Suburban Legends and, you know, Forces of Evil, stuff like that. And they all were like the same five bands. So like you have like these bands that have like seven or eight like lines all kind of clumped in one big ball. And that's kind of interesting. But anyway, I was messing around with it. It totally forgot that this song and this band existed because it's been like almost 20 years, right? About 15.
I don't want to think about it.
Yeah, I know.
If you follow the spider web long enough, will you get to Kevin Bacon?
That's what I've been trying. I did somehow get from Wolf Mother to George Carlin this afternoon. That was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Tenacious D is a transitionary between music and comedy. Fun. Yeah. But no, really fun. I mean, the app does cost a couple bucks, but you don't have any ads on it. They don't bug you about anything. It doesn't take up a whole lot of space on your phone. So I say check it out. It's a fun little thing.
If you like music.
Oh, yeah. Even if you're not super into music, but you like what you like and you want to try new things, definitely. Yeah, let's get back into the news here, guys. Yeah. What do we have?
We've got the new Avengers poster came out.
Yeah, that thing. Yeah. Well, there's a new Avengers poster because the movie's coming out in what?
May 1st.
Couple months, yep. Which, is that the weekend of Free Comic Book Day? Is that the first Saturday in...
Oh, it is!
Because they did the same thing with the first Avengers. Yeah,
oh,
think about
that's
that.
A full weekend.
It really is.
We can go to Pack Rad and then go to Movie Tavern.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, like we did last time. Yeah. And end up sitting, you know... Like directly underneath the screen, like we did last
time.
Yeah,
we went and saw Guardians.
Well, when we saw Avengers that years ago too.
It was the same way.
Yeah. Anyway, Free Comic Book Day is the first Saturday in May. Any comic book shop has a bunch of promotional comics that they give away for free. A lot of shops have different events and stuff. Pack Rat down in Hilliard puts on like almost a free mini convention. And it's
actually a lot of fun. It's a good one to attend.
It's a blast, yeah. And the price is right.
Oh, yeah.
but anyway, no. They put out a new poster for the Avengers, and there were a couple interesting little
tidbits
on it. First off, the poster looks great. You have the full cast. They're still not showing a real good look at the Vision, which is Paul Bettany's character.
Yeah,
the voice of Jarvis, the robot.
Yeah,
and I really hope they. First off, I really hope they don't spoil that before the movie. I think in this day and age, where you see everything beforehand. I would love for this one thing to be like, I don't want to know. I don't want to see it in action, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt about the Hulk Buster. I wish they kind of would have
kept
that one.
Yeah, but I kind of understand why they had to do that, though. They needed something new, something big.
Yeah, I mean, enough people lost their crap about it when we saw a version of the Hulk Buster in Iron Man 3.
Yeah. But anyway, the couple of things that popped up down at the very bottom... when it's listing off actors that will be in the film, they list also starring, like, after the main actors, Anthony Mackie and Haley Atwell, which means the Falcon and Peggy Carter in some capacity have been confirmed for the movie and not beyond just cameos, because they wouldn't put the actors' names just as cameos.
Yeah, which is weird because she's in, Haley Atwell's in Winter Soldier.
As old Peggy Carter.
Yeah, old Peggy Carter. She's kind of like losing her mind.
Which, I mean, it could be that they the movie takes place at least partially in the tail end of World War II.
They do some
Baron Strucker stuff, like a shield. Because Hydra's the villain.
Well, of course.
Hydra is the villain of this one.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, so, the modern day version of Hydra is messing with the Terrigen Mists and trying to create super soldiers. That's how you get Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. Baron Strucker is the current head of Hydra in this one.
Yeah, because that was at the end of Captain America 2, kind of.
Yeah, well, they're also, yes. Yeah, but yes, they are, Hydra is the bad guy.
All right.
Anyway, part of it might take place in World War II. Part of it might be you have older Peggy Carter kicking butt one last time, you know?
Or they give her some sort of super serum or de-aging.
Okay.
Man, I don't know if I'd want to see
that.
Though.
I don't want
that
either.
As much as I like to look at Haley Atwell, you know?
Yeah.
But I wouldn't want
to
see that.
I just like Peggy Carter as a character.
Yeah.
I'd like to see her.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Peggy Carter, the series, in character in the movies.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Actually, that reminds me. Last week, we had a question that we didn't get to in time, basically asking us what we thought of the new Peggy Carter series. And I think it's pretty unanimous. We all really dig it.
Yeah.
I just watched the season finale today.
Yeah, I caught about half of it before I fell asleep.
I still need to catch up. Yeah.
But no, it's we all really dig it. Although I've heard some people say that they'd rather have a full series of Peggy Carter than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I don't know if I agree with that. Simply because when you have a full season, the Peggy Carter succeeds because they had a straight story from beginning to end. They didn't have to do any filler. I think when you get into having a full series like you do with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., inevitably you're going to have some filler, and I don't know if a Peggy Carter series could sustain viewers for filler episodes.
Yeah, well, there is talk of a second season of Peggy Carter.
And that's awesome. If they do another 8-if episode where that has a definite beginning and end,
yeah,
I would be totally into it. But I think the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. series kind of, it lends better to filler.
Yeah. I mean, it's easier for them to go, well, what random artifact from Marvel are we going to hunt this week, Scooby?
Right, right. Yeah, does that sound... Yeah. Anyway, yes, the Avengers poster. There was actually one other thing on that poster that's kind of causing a little bit of a stir. On the poster, it says down at the very bottom, with special thanks to Danny Elfman, care of Sony Pictures or whatever.
Yeah.
At first, it doesn't mean anything. You know, Danny Elfman, he's done a million movies for...
A million studios.
Yeah. For Tim Burton. Pretty much any Tim Burton movie from the 90s.
Yeah.
You know, that's his...
That's his thing.
That's his thing. But anyway...
It's Batman.
Yeah, they're going to put Batman, yes.
Put Batman.
Surprise,
it's
Batman.
Hashtag confirmed, hashtag Batman in the Avengers. Hashtag 2015.
Yeah. Hashtag dueling billionaires.
Yeah.
I about spit my soda.
but no, seriously, Danny Elfman did the music for the Sam Raimi Spider-Man films. So, I don't know. What does this mean? Does this mean that Spider-Man's going to pop up in Avengers?
Sounds like it.
Maybe, or they might make maybe a reference to Spider-Man. I don't know.
A musical illusion?
Yeah. I mean, they haven't cast anyone for the character yet. So,
no.
I mean, but... CGI, they can put anyone in a mocap suit and have them swing by. They don't even have to say anything.
Swing by in the back.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
It's the Spider-Man.
Yeah. Watch out.
Some sort of Spider-Man.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know.
He looks friendly and he's in our neighborhood.
I don't know. I hear he's a menace.
I know, I'm excited for it. I'm always excited for a Marvel movie.
Oh, sure.
Honestly.
Oh, totally, totally.
About time.
I know, right?
Yeah.
it's like I feel like I'm just, among anything, I'm just waiting in between Marvel movies.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's been a long time since Captain America. That was the last one, right?
Guardians.
No, Guardians.
Guardians.
It's kind of its own thing, though. Mm-hmm. I know it's part of the universe, but it felt like its own thing.
Oh, it kind of was. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
But no, I'm just sitting there. I'm just like... Everyone's talking about all these other movies. It's like, I want Avengers.
I'm just sitting here waiting for Avengers.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that kind of leads me to another thing. It's not on the list, but I've been hearing, like, serious reports that they might not be going with the Peter Parker version of Spider-Man.
I know. I'm excited.
Yeah, I was going to ask what you guys thought of that.
Yeah, go for it.
Miles Morales.
Yeah.
Well, they've already said, like, you know, they're looking at possibly a African-American or Hispanic person to play Spider-Man. And I'm like, well, Miles is both.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you're almost saying that you're going to get Miles Morales.
Now, see, I think it's great. I really think it's great. But do you think that the general film viewing public that doesn't know comics like us, isn't in the know to the level that we are, will accept...
A non-Peter Parker.
Or, you know what? He's still Peter Parker, but he's a minority. Because, you know what? It's modern day. Peter Parker's whole backstory is he grew up in the lower end of New York City.
He's from Queens, isn't he? Yeah, he's from Queens.
It wouldn't be a stretch.
No,
for him to be rewritten as a minority.
Well, no, people would lose their minds over that crap, right? I'm just going to put that one out there right now.
Well, yeah,
I think it'd almost be safer to go with Miles because he has almost virtually the same backstory as Peter Parker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how I'm not 100% sure. I'm not sure he's not quite as scientific as Pete.
No, I don't think so.
No, well,
he's 14. He is a kid in this.
Yeah,
in his books.
Yeah, he seems like a fan favorite. I think there'd be more people happy about it than people mad.
Well, yeah. Instead of you know, changing Peter Parker. Not that I'm against change. I mean, if you want to make a African American or a Hispanic or whatever Peter Parker, that's, you know, fine, whatever. But I think it would be safer to go with an established ethnic character.
Yeah.
And since he is Spider-Man in his universe, I mean, it'd be probably the better bet.
True. Now, my next question is, how many people do you suppose, how many film reviewers that are just, you know, watching movies because they have to, have no investment with it, would just lambast if they did include a Miles Morales character? Like, just wouldn't get it, wouldn't understand, and would just be like, what are they doing with our, you know, our characters? And, you know, everyone's got to be some, you know, minority or whatever.
I tell them to shut up, and no one cares about your opinion.
Yeah, that's terrible.
yeah.
I mean, it's just like when people were talking about, like, when Falcon took over the mantle of Captain America, and people were losing their stupid minds over that.
Yeah, yeah.
Or girl Thor.
Or, yeah, a female Thor. You know what? Sometimes change is good. Mm-hmm. We've had 5 movies with Peter Parker,
mm-hmm.
including how many animated series and live-action series, barring Japanese Spider-Man, obviously.
No, yeah. The best Spider-Man.
He is the emissary of hell.
Yes, with his giant robot Leopardon.
Yeah. I know he's your favorite.
He's my favorite.
I think it would be a good change.
And in the end, he's still a guy in red pajamas shooting webs around. I mean, it's not.
Well, yeah, sure. Yeah.
I mean, sometimes stuff's stale. I mean, I don't want another origin story.
Oh my god, no! No, I'm so done with origin stories. And you know. That's what the DC movies are going to be. They're all going to be. They're all going to be origin stories. Every one of them.
I mean, how many times do I have to watch Peter Parker get bit by a spider? How many times do I get to see Tom and Martha Wayne get shot in an alley? I've seen it 100 times. Guess what? Even people who aren't really that big into comics, they know the origin stories of most of your big... Everyone knows Superman came from another planet. Everyone knows Batman has parents' issues.
It's part of our
modern mythology.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yep. That's exactly. Yeah.
I mean, let's just get into some fun. Because you know what? I like Spider-Man 2, the Tobey Maguire ones, a lot better than I liked the Spider-Man 1. You know why? Because I didn't have to sit through the origin story.
Yeah. He's also being... Alfred Molina is a godsend to that movie.
I know, right?
He's the best Doc Ock
ever. I mean, the whole surgery room scene was very Raimi, and I loved it.
Oh, man, yeah.
Especially with, like, the little chainsaw.
Yeah, perfect.
But that's my thing, is I'm tired of, like, The Dark Knight. Dark Knight's a great Batman film.
Because we didn't have to see the origin.
Yeah. I mean, let's just get straight into the superheroing. We know it. We know the stories. Let's just get to the fun.
Why can't they put some finesse on it and just hint at the origins a little bit?
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to spell the whole thing out for me. I'm not stupid. Like,
yeah, but you see, that's movie theater. That's movie studios going...
Oh, for the lowest common
denominator. Denominator, yeah. Every movie is someone's first movie.
I guess.
Yeah. So...
I don't know. I'm just excited to see where the Avengers takes us. I mean, what's going on with all these changes and everything that's happening, like, midway.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'd almost say that Spider-Man couldn't be in Age of Ultron because I feel like it was done before the deal was sealed.
I bet if anything, it's going to be a post-credit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, because they could do that at any time, really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, shoot, they for the original, the first Avengers... They showed the movie. They had the red carpet, and then went back and filmed the post credit.
Oh, yeah, the shawarma scene.
Yeah.
The late edition.
Oh, the second after credit scene.
No, yeah. Speaking of movies, let's just go ahead and get this one out of the way. They found a new director for Lego Movie 2, which is officially being called the Lego Movie sequel. That's just what they're calling it.
Awesome. Nice.
Yeah. But it's a comedian and director and sometimes an actor named Rob Schraub. And he's his big claim to fame is he's done a bunch of episodes of Community.
Which is great.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, fantastic show.
Yeah. And he actually has ties to the comic world. He's last week we talked about Jonah Vasquez and like Ben Edlund and, you know, these guys that did like indie comics that went on to do, you know, things in other media.
Yeah.
Rob Schraub created an indie comic in the 90s called Scud the Disposable Assassin, which started off as just like a crazy, you know, a Jonah Vasquez ripoff, very kind of violent, kind of mean-spirited thing, and ended up being a really interesting allegory for getting through a breakup. Seriously. Yeah, it's really interesting, and it burned real hot there for about 3 years and then disappeared. But he went on to direct and act and do comedy and stuff, and I don't know, I think this is a really good move.
Yeah.
For him.
Yeah, and the two Lord
they're
Miller.
Producing,
they're
I imagine.
Executive producer, yeah,
imagine.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I mean, I'm glad they're not changing my beloved Lego Movie too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. They produced the second Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs instead of writing it, and it was still just as good.
Oh yeah, yeah. And I mean, they're busy doing what are they doing now?
Oh, the Last Man on Earth show. That show with
Will Forte.
Yeah, Will Forte.
Oh yeah.
I'm glad they finally got a sequel joke through, because Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2 was originally just going to be called Cloudy with a Chance of Sequel.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
It seems like if you try to make your movie title a sequel joke, Hollywood won't let you do it.
Yeah.
Because The Muppets Most Wanted was going to be called Muppets Again, but they made him change that. I don't know.
Like at the last minute, actually one of the songs kind of hints
at it, yeah.
Like, references, they're not really hints.
Two. The opening and the ending song both kind of play at the fact that the movie is supposed to be called Muppets Again.
Oh, that's... Okay, yeah, that makes sense. It's weird that they would let that go... that they wouldn't let that go through, but the Alvin and the Chipmunks 2 was called The Squeakquel.
Well, true.
Yeah.
But finally, a big movie got a sequel joke title.
For now.
For now.
Yeah, until it's called Lego Most Wanted.
Oh, man, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Now they're going to call the Lego Batman movie the Lego Batman spinoff.
Yes. I hope that would be awesome. That would be really cool. And actually, I just thought of another thing that Rob Schraub guy did. There was a pilot, an old pilot, like one of those shows that they did one episode and then never went anywhere.
Like the channel, what is that called? Where they would do a bunch of pilots and people would vote on the ones they liked the most.
Something kind of like that.
Because Rick and Morty comes from that.
Yeah. I forget what it's called.
It's not Channel 101, is it?
It might be.
Might be that.
But it was a show in the 90s called Heat Vision and Jack.
Yeah, that's what, yep. That's...
Okay, and it was Jack Black as a renegade biker and... Owen Wilson as his talking motorcycle.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I think Ben Stiller was involved with that,
I think
too,
he was, too,
way.
Yeah. Yeah, but Schraub, I think he at least directed. I think he might have co-wrote it as well. So, I mean, the guy has comedy chops. So,
I mean, he writes for Community, and 90% of Community is great.
And directs for Community, too, so, yeah. So,
yeah, 90% of it's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But, oh, yeah, that's coming back, too.
It is.
It's going to be on the Yahoo thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the least known of the
streaming services,
video streaming services.
Yeah, I didn't even realize they had one until I saw the ad for Community.
Same here.
Well, it's like the Powers show is premiering on PlayStation.
The PlayStation Network.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well.
Not on the myriad of streaming services that Sony owns.
Yeah.
PlayStation.
Actually, makes me wonder. I have a Blu-ray player is Sony, and it runs off the PlayStation, like, OS, kind of. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you suppose... I've never looked. Do you suppose the PlayStation, like, network is on that?
I don't know.
Huh.
I don't know.
I'll have to check that out. All off right. mic, of course.
Yes, of course.
No, let's do it now.
Yeah, let's go right now. No.
Stop saying...
Well, you know, we do have one other thing here before we get out of here. The new Batman Arkham Asylum game.
Arkham Knight.
Arkham Knight, is that what it's called?
Yep.
Yeah.
See, Batman Arkham Knight.
I don't know much about any of this, so you guys are going to be the one talking.
Well, apparently got a rated M rating from the rating board for video games.
The first Batman Arkham series game to get the M.
Which is kind of surprising, because there were times that those games are so close to an M rating, it's ridiculous.
They're so dark and, like, so not for kids that...
No, they're not.
It's kind of surprising it didn't have the M already.
Honestly, though, when it comes to video games, it almost seems like the rating system doesn't matter, because all those kids are still getting the Call of Duty.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times as a salesperson for video games that happens.
Oh, I know. I worked for GameStop for years. I know all about it. Yeah. And I sit there and I'm like, are you sure you want to buy your kid this game? It has this, 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 and this. Oh. Well, I'll watch him and I'll determine. I'm like, okay, but you can't return it.
Yeah. Like Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Usually I get a lot once it hits like the sexual content. I'm like, whoa, no.
Yeah, once in a while. Yeah.
Otherwise,
yeah.
I'm like, oh, they're just going to get it from a friend anyway. So.
Yeah, it's like, oh, but it's got horrible violence. Okay.
I don't want to set an example that's wrong.
Like, but no, but there are things in the Arkham games, because I've played every single one of them, there are, like, really kind of, like Clayface in Arkham City was kind of scary looking. I mean, and people die.
Oh, yeah.
Batman doesn't really kill people, but other people in the games kill people.
So, what do you suppose makes this game...
different?
Tips it over the line.
I think Warner Brothers feeds them some cash. Honestly. Really? I think they petition real hard to get the teen.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, with the storyline of this movie, or with this game, the criminals are basically taking over Gotham again.
Yeah. Again for the 1900th time.
Yeah. And like...
it's Tuesday. Joker's going to be taking over the town.
Well, not Joker.
Well, no.
It's Scarecrow in this one.
It's Scarecrow.
Yeah. Okay.
He's finally back. After being, like, teased and teased and teased, he's finally back.
Not to interrupt, I read something the other day. If Joel Schumacher was able to make a third Batman movie, like Batman and Robin and everything, Batman Triumphant, the villain was going to be the Scarecrow, and he was going to be played by Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, my God. 90s Goldblum. Oh, that would have been so good.
Oh. I know, I might have taken back every bad thing I've ever said about Schumacher.
I want that.
Yeah, so weep for the fact that we are not living in a world where that happened.
Oh, that's a sadder place.
Yes. Anyway, so
anyway. But I mean, it's got a darker overtone. I mean, you have this Arkham Knight character who we don't really know who he is, other than the fact that he looks kind of like Batman wearing armor and uses guns.
So he's
Red Hood.
Azrael.
No, Azrael was... He was in Arkham City.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He, there was, like, these magical glyphs.
See, I haven't played any of the games.
So. Yeah, he's a side mission character. Ah, okay. But you do run into him.
Anyway, yeah.
Like, the other reason why I didn't get an M is because it's not a first-person shooter. But, like, excuse the pun, but the ESRB is a little trigger-happy when it comes to giving first-person shooters M's.
Yeah, I mean, there are some things in the Arkham games that are just as violent as Call of Duty and stuff. I mean, there's not really swearing so much.
Well, there's a lot of swearing in Arkham City.
I really
especially
don't...
when you're playing as Catwoman.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot all about that.
Yeah, it gets kind of nasty.
Oh, it does. It does. It does get kind of catcall-y and kind of bad.
It gets borderline inappropriate, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a Batman game. Like, for children.
Well, I wouldn't exactly say it's for children. No. But
Batman is for children. Batman is a comic book character for babies.
That is...
little baby children, right? Is that what's supposed to happen?
That is sometimes the popular opinion, but it's not true.
No. I mean, come on. Batman will break bones in, like, the worst ways in his fight scenes in those freaking games.
Yeah.
I mean, it's terrible. You're leaving dudes in a coma in the dead of winter in the middle of the street.
You're borderline torturing people half the time.
And you just can't get away with a bomb sometimes.
Nope.
Some days.
Nope. Some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
Just died. Okay,
no, I got
let's
it.
Move on.
No, I got you. Rocksteady was supposed to be doing a Batman Silver Age style movie or game.
Then that would be great. I would.
Yeah.
I wish that would have happened.
Consider playing that.
But I don't know. I'm really interested now to find out what exactly pushes the limit.
Yeah. What did they do?
I mean, is there like some horrible act of violence that happens in a cutscene or something? I don't know.
Somebody gets beheaded. I don't know.
Oh.
That's okay. I'll stick with my Lego Batmans. Thank you very much.
Those are so great. The last one was real good.
Yeah, those are really good. I enjoy them quite a bit.
Well, the Lego games are just as a whole great because everything is awesome.
Yes. Okay, and with that, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap it up here. Again, you've been listening to Nerd Overload. You can check us out every Saturday at 9 on WZMO Radio. Go on the website.
Nerdoverload.com.
Oh my gosh, we didn't even talk about the con.
Okay, wait, no. All right, let's talk about it.
Okay, let's real quick.
We got a couple minutes.
You have to cut it in, or
we're just gonna have to talk about it real quick. We went up to Wizard World Cleveland. It was their inaugural year after buying out the Cleveland Comic Con, and it was great. It was a really good time.
Yeah.
It was a blast. The con hall seemed a little bigger.
Although it was crowded.
Saturday was so many people there.
Yeah.
Saturday was ridiculous.
Oh, man, yeah.
I mean, the aisles are wider than the Columbus one, but it didn't matter.
Great cosplay. The guests had a lot of great guests.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there were.
We went to Karen Gillan's panel. She was fantastic, charming, amazing.
If you love Doctor Who and Redheads, it's awesome.
Yeah. But it was just a great time. It was just a blast. We went. Josh and I went Friday, Saturday. You guys went Saturday, and it was just super, super awesome. And you can go over to our website nerdoverload.com and check out our con pictures. Samantha and I both took a ton of pictures, and they turned out really well. Except for one that I had to delete because I must have had the shakes there for a second or something. But yeah, go over there, check those out.
Did you guys have a favorite costume you saw?
Oh, man.
There were so many good ones.
I know.
I like that hot girl. I didn't get to see her up close, but from a distance, she looked
really
awesome.
The hot girl was really good. That was really intricate.
Oh, hot girl. Oh,
yes.
I thought you were saying a hot girl.
No!
No, hawk girl.
Yes.
Yeah. Her costume was really, really good.
Her costume was good. I liked the, what's his name from Jurassic Park, because you never see that.
Oh, the Dennis Nedry?
Yeah.
That was pretty good. I felt bad because I missed the chance to use the fetch the stick stupid joke.
Yeah, well, he said, nah.
He didn't, didn't say the secret word, nah.
Yeah. That was a good one.
Oh, I don't know. There was a really good Captain Marvel.
That was a really good one.
There was all kinds of good ones.
What are those things from the Muppets? The Yip Yip.
Yeah.
That was pretty fun. Pretty great.
That was fun.
It was a good Dr. Fate. Yeah.
7 foot Spock was awesome. Did you guys see seven foot Spock?
No.
Oh, man.
Like his head looks exactly like Leonard Nimoy.
He looked like Leonard Nimoy
on a stick.
But he was like 8 feet tall.
Dude, I came up to like the bottom of the dude's chest. I mean, I know I'm short. Yeah, he had a booth. He's a professional cosplayer. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, I went in costume, and three people recognized me, and that was awesome.
Eight. I counted, remember?
Eight. But they are really excited to see Captain N from the 80s cartoon Captain N and the Game Master.
Yep. And
a lot of people coming up and grabbing the power glove I was wearing. That was kind of weird.
Yeah, that was kind of awkward. Pushing your buttons.
Anyway, it was a really good time. We really got to close out the show here, guys. Yeah. So nerdoverload.com. Facebook.com/nerdoverload website, at nerdoverload on Twitter.
Yep.
Follow, like, all those things.
Yeah, do all that stuff.
Do it.
And we'll be back next week.
Yep. Thanks for listening.
See ya.
Yeah.
This show has been brought to you by IDE Computers.